And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Expository Thursday. Expository Thursday. As we work together to know the letter better into the narrative of the Book of Acts, we travel to understand what things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, we return to the Book of Acts, specifically verse 23 of chapter 23. The next several verses deal with Commander Claudius Lysias sending Paul to Governor Felix. The commander writes a letter explaining the situation and why he has 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen escorting Paul to the governor. After Felix reads the letter, he decides to handle the case. 5 days later, Ananias the high priest arrives with a special lawyer named Tertullus, who is the Johnny Cochran of his day. The lawyer then proceeds to accuse Paul with four straight lies. Go figure. Next, verse 10 in chapter 24 is a pivotal moment. Now it's Paul's turn. Even in Paul's approach, he is respectful of elders and leaders, acknowledging Felix's helpful actions for the Jews. The key component here is understanding that it was now Paul's turn. I want you to hear that. It's important for you and me to understand that we will have our opportunity, our chance, your chance. The Lord will either speak for you or enable you to declare the truth, no matter how many lies are thrown at you. Did you hear that? And finally, Paul states at the end of verse 10, when he makes his defense, he states this. He states that he is defending his faith. This is exactly what Christian apologetics is, defending the faith, making declaration for people who have filled the air with toxic lies and tried to distort the truth at every point. Christian apologetics is about standing firm in the faith and declaring the once and for all faith that was delivered to the saints. The irony is, if people don't like it, it doesn't matter, because God's truth stands and the truth doesn't change.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk is what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Nice. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and noivies. So much more. Now, remember, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. And people always ask me, why do you go through the same intro? Why do you go through that thing again and again? Ready? Here's your answer. Why do you give the number 1,500 times? And why do you do it this way? Ready? Ready? New listeners. Okay, there you go. That really helps you. Now it's like, oh, yeah, no, I get it. Okay, there you go. Here it is. Bottom line. The bottom line is this. We want to know what you're thinking. How you doing? Right? You can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's David, D-A-V-I-D, at a, with a circle around it, hemustincrease.org. All one thing, david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that call, you're going to end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is the same feeling you get when you're being appreciated.
Aww. Aww. That's nice. Thank you, David. Happy Thursday.
Happy Thursday. Thursday. Do you like that?
I didn't do it as well as you, but I tried.
No, but you are giving a. You are doing so well. You're phenomenally growing in leaps and bounds.
Thank you.
No idea. He did help me, by the way, Jacob, do some recording today on the other audiobook. But I encourage you. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter whether it's for Apple. It doesn't matter whether it's for Android. It doesn't matter. Check out the audiobook. I think you like it. I was listening to some of it today, and I was like, boy, who wrote that? That's a joke. Anyhow, beyond that point, I do want you to be aware that if you want to reach out to us, it can be for a prayer request. We want to pray with you. It can be for a praise report. We want to hear that. When you share a praise report, it reinforces it in your own life, it blesses other people, and it honors the Lord. I mean, that's just three elements of fruit right there. Additionally, we hope we're going to get in some history or some jokes. We are going to be doing a replay on an interview. I'll tell you about that in a little while, but not quite yet. And then we're also going to do Bible trivia. As you know, we do that. We live for Bible trivia. People like that. I think they should. What book is this passage in? Now, again, I can't give you the reference. We're only doing this one time, but here we go. Which book has this scripture in it? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Is that Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, or Song of Solomon? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Is that Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, or Song of Solomon? If you think you know the answer, as a man thinketh in his heart, where is that? In the Bible. What book? You don't have to give me the exact. Just give me the book. Got a 1 in 66 chance. Although most of this stuff's all Old Testament. So now you got a 1 in 39 chance. There, I just improved the odds. You can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also send us a text, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Ooh, or you can send us an email, david@hemustincrease.org. What book is this in? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, or Song of Solomon. In the meantime, we'll do our DNA because we love DNA. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
So when Jesus said, and you're teaching people to pray, he said, give us this day our daily bread. Do you think that was an accident? I'm just asking. See, there's a wisdom there, right? Every day that you wake up should be a day that you spend time with your Creator who allowed you to breathe in the first place and also let you wake up. That's where that comes from. Every day that ends in Y, spend some time with the guy in the sky. That does not mean that you spend time listening to this radio show. That's your devotions. Nope. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. You need to spend separated, private time with the Lord. I don't care if it's a minute or an hour and a minute. Separated time with the Lord in prayer, in his word, communing. Get it? Okay, that's D. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Doesn't matter what the world says. The world, they have such a perverted sense of righteousness. You already know that. Why would you want their support? Why would you want their praise? Looking for praise from people leads to crucifying Jesus. That's a bad idea. You never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Nobody else has a heaven to put you in, and there's no other way to get there but by Jesus Christ. That's N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And it doesn't matter what any radio person or television person or government person or academic or any kind of Hollywood person or media person says. It is through Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. There it is. And then finally, A stands for always be ready.
To serve.
To serve. It means that we have a mindset that is ready. I like this because you think about this. On your mark, get set. Okay, that means you're ready. Ready? On your mark, get set. right? You're ready to go. Are you going to go every time that? No, but you're ready. You're prepared. You're willing. You're able. You're presenting yourself before the Lord. You're saying, here am I, use me. You're waking up and saying, I don't know what you got today, but I want to be a part of it. Use me. I mean, that's just, okay, makes sense, right? That's the always be ready to serve D, draw closer to the Lord daily, and never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. A, always be ready to serve. We'll hit up on the trivia real fast, and then I'm going to offer up a prayer for Jacob, who is Will's friend, and then we're going to get into the teaching. So here we go. Here is the question. Where in the Bible, which book in the Old Testament is this in? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Or as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Is that in Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, or Song of Solomon? If you think you know, 972-445-0770. Now, so text 214-210-8483, as well as send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I should point out that this particular translation is going to be more King James or New King James. I should say that. So if you're looking in your NIV, you might not see it. I think it is that way in the NAS, but now it's just eluding me just at the moment. Okay, that's your question. There you go. Let's offer up a prayer for Jacob. This is so Will, one of our great listeners, his friend's grandson had this horrific accident. Horrific. And we want to pray for him. They had to delay the surgery. He's got different things going on. We want to pray that Jacob gets the fullness of the blessing and the healing in the process. So listen, let's take people that you know that need to be a part of healing, offer them up with this in this prayer time, and let's pray. Father, we come before you right now, and there is no place better to go for anything, anywhere and any time, like there is to come to you. You are the perfect parent. You love us because you have such great love. You care for us and discipline us perfectly. You give us the moments of grace when we need them and the moments of challenge when we need those. And you do it for our benefit. It's not for you. It's for us. So thank you for that. And so we lift up Jacob to you. He's got massive surgery situations, Lord. He's lucky to be alive, so we thank you for his life. We ask that you would give full wisdom to the doctors and the surgeries they're going to perform, that for all of the bones that have been broken, his eyes, or every part about him, that he can make an absolute recovery. Absolutely, because, Lord, you're the creator, and he's a part of your creation. We pray for that family, that they would have courage and confidence. We pray for healing. We pray for comfort. We pray for grace where they need grace the most. Pour it out upon that family, bless them, and let the testimony begin about your grace in this situation. We pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, now we're going to do a little bit on the Word. So there's nowhere to go, so just listen up. This will be really, really good. I want to bring this up again. I didn't hammer it very difficultly last time, so I wanted to make sure you understood this. This is in Acts, and I want to back it up just a little. Acts 23, actually picking it up from verse 16. It says, but Paul's nephew heard their plan. This is the plan to kill Paul. 40 people gathered together and said, we're not going to eat. We're not going to drink. We've bound ourselves together. There's more than 40 of us, so we're going to ask people, please, to the government, to the officials, to all the people involved, the religious leaders and the governmental leaders and everyone involved, tell them we want to ask more questions. It's just a ruse. We're going to use this to kill Paul. Ha 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 ha. In the meantime, verse 16, Paul's nephew heard of their plan and went to the fortress and told Paul. Paul called one of the officers and said, take this young man to the commander. He has something important to tell him. What I want you to catch in this, and I don't talk about this a lot, but it is powerful, and that is Paul's nephew informs the commander of the plot. We've already talked about that. You don't think of Paul in human terms. You think of Paul as the great apostle Paul. Never does anything wrong. Okay, so that's not right. And so here's the apostle Paul, and he's got a nephew. And you think, wait a minute, he has a nephew? That means, what, he's got a brother or a sister? Yeah, see, he's human. You see, the Bible is written partnership with the Holy Spirit, the verbal plenary process where God uses people to write what he wants to communicate, communicating his message, but not allowing them to lose who they are during the process. That's why it's not dictation. That's why it's verbal plenary. That's the whole point of that. But here, Paul, who's got a brother or a sister, right? Because one of his nephew, that's where you get nephews from, his nephew hears about what's taking place. This is what I want to tell you. This is the thing that just, I love stuff like this. Paul's nephew informs the commander about the plot, allowing the commander to prepare in advance. What's fascinating is that God is the spy in this story. The Lord had orchestrated the events in such a way that Paul's nephew could overhear the plot, share it, and ultimately reveal the truth. Now, what's amazing about that is Jesus said, whatever is hidden shall be revealed. And the Lord had made it clear what was going on. And this is in preparation for Paul not to be killed and for Paul to be able to proclaim the gospel in Rome, as God has said, Jesus had visited him and told him he would. God is going to have to circumvent the scenario and not allow the people to kill Paul. And he does that by letting the nephew hear the story. What I want you to get on that is there is nothing that happens anywhere to any Christian ever, even the bad, the potentially bad and the bad, nothing happens that God is unaware of. Nothing. And when you go through it, I understand it's normal. It's all the way through Scripture. What is going on? That's fine. But don't misunderstand. God knows every nuance and detail of everything in your life. There is no mystery to God. You understand that? He understands it all. Just want you to be assured that he knows you, he chose you, he's with you, and he loves you. Get that? Okay. All right. Trivia question, which book has as he thinketh in his heart, so is he? Is that Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, or Song of Solomon? It is actually Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. Again, look to the King James, New King James for your reference point. It may also be in the footnotes. We'll take a short break, then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noel, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations. And is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
Job, I want to read Job 3:25. I don't want anybody looking. I know that the teachings in the church and being a Baptist, somebody who's got a Baptist ordination, a Pentecost ordination, somebody who understands what Calminian means, understands what the manifold millennialist is. I get it. I really do. I've been around for a little while. When you're hearing Scripture, you don't have to put all the Scriptures you hear in certain boxes so they fit your motif of a theology. Sometimes you can just look at it and observe it and go right for it and review it. And Job chapter 3, verse 25, one of the things that Job said is, what I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me. There's a whole teaching on, it's because your confession wasn't good. I don't think that had anything to do with it. I think God was bragging about Job to Satan. Job didn't know that was going on. That's obvious. But there he is. God's bragging about him. And what Job is like going is like, this is the worst thing that I could think of. And that happens to people. Believers, good believers, great believers, fantastic believers, lousy believers, and everybody else. It's something that takes place. Sometimes bad things come about in the process. That doesn't mean that God hates you. First of all, the world has rebelled against God and lies in wickedness. So it's not God's fault that the world said, hey, we'll run this planet without you. We'll let you know. I mean, that's not God's fault. He's not the one that did that. People did that. And so the idea to understand is that sometimes these tough things happen. The great thing to know is that God has not left and went to Pluto while you're going through these things. In this particular case, in Job, it was completely the opposite of what Job thought because God was bragging about him and Job thought he was in some kind of trouble or some kind of judgment. Hey, guess what? Job was wrong. Something else was going on altogether, which is often the case. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. We are going to be doing a replay on one of our interviews. We had a phenomenal interview with Petra and Bob Hartman. We're going to get a chance to replay that, and I want you to be aware of that. I am going to tell you something else that you're not going to love, but I think it's hilarious, and you know me. I don't do things too normal. So yesterday, we did a replay, but I was going to do my Easter message yesterday, kind of like because it's coming up. And then I decided, well, I could do my Easter message today. And then I thought, no, I don't want to do it today. And then I thought, maybe I'll do the Easter message on Friday. And then I thought, nope, I don't want to do it on Friday. And I've decided on purpose I'm going to do the Easter message on next Wednesday after Easter. Hardly anybody ever preaches an Easter message after Easter. Guess what? We are. Does that just sound like normal for us?
Yep, pretty much.
That's just too good. All right, tell me which book this comes from. Who said, and what book is it in? Let the day perish in which I was born. Let the day perish and wherein I was born. I will give you this hint. It is in the third chapter of one of these four books. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, or Ecclesiastes. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, or Ecclesiastes. It is in chapter 3 of one of those four books. Who said, let the day perish wherein I was born? If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So you have all those things available to you to reach out to us in. We're going to, so we do have some jokes and some history. Now, I don't know which one that Jacob likes more. It's hard sometimes to tell. He kind of goes back and forth. So I'll ask him, would you rather hear a joke? Or wait, do you have somebody on the line? No, I didn't even think about that. Somebody calling in. Good idea, Dave. Why don't you take the call? Thank you very much. Let's do that first. Go ahead and send him on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good, Gary. It is one of those days I had to go to the doctor and do a physical, and I like physicals when they come off better than they did today, but we'll just leave that there. It's just like sometimes you go there and you go, really? I could have done without that. But doing generally pretty good, but at least I got here and pushed through the traffic, so that part was good. I appreciate that. How are you feeling?
About the same.
Okay. Well, we're going to pray for you, so I want to definitely get this going. Did you get a chance, by the way, to use that card? Did that work at all?
I did. It was a little involved, but I was able to use it.
Yay! I'm sorry it was so involved, brother.
Young lady at the counter knew what was going on. It was a card, a plastic card, within the paper card. There's a card within a card, so she knew what to do to take that out. So anyway,
I was able to use it.
Thank the Lord.
Okay, well, praise the Lord that worked out. So I'm very glad to hear that. All right. All right, let's do the trivia question first. This is a classic. I'm going to ask him the question, and then you tell me which book this is in. You got a 1 out of 39 chance, but then I'm going to give you 4 to choose from. Which book has this? Let the Day Perish Wherein I Was Born. Is that Job, Psalms, Proverbs, or Ecclesiastes?
I believe that was Job.
That is correct, Amundo! It is Job chapter 3, verse 3. And I always find that humorous. And we talked about this when we did teaching on it about a year, almost a year and a half ago, where, you know, Job's like, I cursed the day I was born. Okay. So, it's too late. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it doesn't matter. It's like, I know it's an expression of grief, but nothing was coming from that. So it didn't really matter. All right, let me pray over you, brother. I want to pray for you, the Lord to bless you, as well as specifically the Lord to heal you. Okay?
Okay.
Let's do it. Father, we come before you right now. Lift up our precious brother, Gary. We ask you to bless him. Thank you, Lord, that that was able to work out with the gift certificate. We do appreciate that. And we appreciate the graces and the giftings that you've given Gary throughout his life and for what he's going through, and that he's been a blessing for us, and we hope to be a blessing for him. But, Lord, I'm asking you to heal him because he needs healing power in his body. He cannot do this apart from your power. Mankind cannot give resolution to his situation. You can. And so we ask you, in the name of Jesus, that you would bring healing into his body. And that you would allow him to know the power of the Holy Spirit as it moves through him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. And he would be healed in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We pray for his wellness. We look forward to rejoice with him. We ask for you this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you. And I'll continue to pray for all of you.
Thank you, brother. And God bless you. All right, so what we're going to do is I'm just going to shift it around because I just feel like shifting it around. Is that okay? Do people mind? Okay, it's okay. All right, listen. I got to say something, and it's not my pre-res message, but it's something really important for people to know. God has called you and I to fellowship with him, and he has called you and I to fellowship with one another. Now, I know that some of you out there, because I've gone through this, have been hurt in churches or just can't find the right connection or the right fellowship. I'm going to say this to you, okay? And please don't be offended, but please hear what I'm saying. We all have to give more grace to one another. And you can't give what you don't have. Some of us have received God's grace, but we don't extend it very well. We don't give that which God has given us. And some of us have received God's grace in bits and pieces. Well, Hebrews 4:16 says, I come to the throne of grace with confidence to receive mercy, which is situational, and to find grace in my time of need, which is situational. Grace and mercy are positional and situational. And some of us don't extend a lot of grace to people, even though God's given us grace, and some of us restrict the grace of God. The grace of God, the unmerited favor, that which is granted by God based on his love, not based on your good works or your good looks or anything else, but based on the character of God as a giver, that is available for us to swim in, to live in, to dwell in. The Bible says we're supposed to be full of grace. The Bible says we're supposed to grow in grace. Some of us do very little growing in grace. One of the big issues is if you've been hurt, it's hard to extend it because you're trying to protect yourself. I get it. But you have to come before the Lord and ask the Lord to help you push past that and to allow you to be filled with his grace so that you can be a vehicle of his grace, because that's what he wants you to be. To be a vehicle of grace to those around you. And for those that you give a tight amount to, be more generous, because God is very generous with you and his grace to you. You get that? That is specifically for somebody out there. I hope you will use that wisely. All right, we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then the show starts, and you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience, only for the brave of heart and the board.
As promised, we are going to now have our interview with the Apostle Peter. We were fortunate enough to have an interview a couple weeks back with an angel from heaven, and now we've been given permission from the powers on high to go ahead and have an interview with the Apostle Peter. Peter, thank you so much for taking the time for whatever's going on there in the heavenly realms and talking to us.
Well, Dave, you're welcome. I'm real glad to see that people are carrying on the work of loving our Lord Jesus Christ and advancing the kingdom. And I'm very, very, very pleased to see that the radio station is moving forward in advancing the Lord Jesus Christ in his lordship, both in personal lives and in corporate lives. It's a great thing for me to see.
Well, thank you, Peter. That's great. And so I guess I want to ask you some basic questions. I'm really breaking this interview down into two separate sections. The first section is kind of before the resurrection, and the second section is kind of after the resurrection, after the ascension.
Okay, Dave, that'll be fine. I know exactly what you're trying to accomplish here. Probably unknown to you is that we know exactly where this is going.
Well, Peter, I don't want to say that that's kind of scary, but okay. Here's my first question to you, sir. What are you absolutely the most proud of as a disciple and as an apostle of Jesus Christ?
Well, David, that's a great question. The thing that I am absolutely the most proud of was the moment that Jesus asked all of us to identify who he really was. And it was at that moment that I was able to say that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. That's the actual rock that the church has been built on. I think some people thought that the rock might have been me myself, but it was my confession that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God. It is that statement of faith that the church has been built upon, and that the gates of hell have never nor will ever prevail against.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where yet again, the Lord is the great weaver of all things. Well, we'll just verify this for everybody to hear. Jacob, can you testify that there is no way that you or me could have known that that Peter interview was coming up? Is that correct?
That is correct.
And yet, in 5 minutes, we are going to be replaying Petra, the interview with Bob Hartman, which Petra is based, remember, Peter is Petros, and the rock is Petra, and then that Phil plays just before the interview we're going to do, and you could not pick a Phil anywhere on the universe that is exactly connected to Petra better than the Peter and Petros. It's just, you just, guys, you just don't know what just happened. It's just another thing where the Lord's going forward. Just, he just keep going forward, son. Like, yes, sir. Yes, sir. You get that? So let me say this. I want to make sure you hear this, okay? And this is in Job, and I want you to hear this portion. This is what I want you to hear. Job chapter 10, verse 12. You have granted me life and favor, and your care has preserved my spirit. You have granted me life and favor. That just happened. And your care has preserved my spirit. I know that many of us, and I do this too, I am really committed to my devotions. I do a great job doing devotions to make sure they happen. None of them would happen without the grace of God. God grants you and I life and favor, and his care has preserved us. That word preserve is shamar. Shamar in the Hebrew, it means to guard us, to keep us, to protect us, to preserve us, to watch over for us, to care for us, to safekeep. It occurs 450 times in the Old Testament. The keeper who preserves us never slumbers. He never sleeps. He's always on duty. He's never shy. And he has granted you and me life, which we don't deserve. So everybody, oh, I deserve this. I deserve. You don't deserve anything. Nobody deserves anything. Period. What we are entitled to is zero. What God granted us was the granted us life. At your first sin, your obliteration should have taken place. By the way, you weren't entitled by God to be given life by God in the first place. He granted you and I life. Not we earned it. He granted it. And then on top of that life, he has granted us favor. You know the favor of God. You've seen the favor of God. You've felt the favor of God. You've operated in the favor of God, where the Lord opens something up and you're like going, wow. It even happens when you read your Bible. You'll be about jumps off the page. Wow. You make a prayer and pray. It happens. You're like, wow. That's favor. He aligns things for us, coordinates things for us, makes divine appointments for us, protects us at every level. He's granted you and me life, and he's granted you and me favor, and his care has preserved our spirit. He has protected. Listen to this. He has protected you. Do you know how many times God has saved your life? You don't. You want to know why you don't? Because it's happened more times than you're aware of. He's kept the planet as one ball more times than we're aware of. And that's what he's done for you individually. So I want you to hear what I'm saying. This is super important, okay? God has granted you life, and God has granted you favor. And it is based on his care that you have been sustained. He will never sleep. Actually, the word shamar means guardian, or one who watches over, a watchman, a shepherd. What does that Psalm 23 say? Psalm 23, verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, because he protects us and he keeps us. And for those that are wondering, yes, he has still protected and kept your family. And even I do the same thing as you. What about those that aren't doing the right thing? The Lord knows where every person is in every moment, and he has never failed us yet. Why are we assuming he will fail us now? Do you understand that? Got to get that. He is faithful, and he is true, and he loves you. Stop beating yourself up. He loves you. He's for you. If he's against you, you have no hope. How's that, right? Is that pretty good? All right. Were we out in about 30 seconds or so? All right, folks. We're going to take a very, very quick break, and then we're going to come back. So I don't want you to go anywhere, do anything, and don't close your eyes while you're driving. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. But Jameer, are you there with us?
Yeah.
Okay, do you think you have an answer on how many days between the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the ascension?
Is it 40 days?
That is correct, sir. You are a winner. Very nice. Did you have to look it up, Jameer, or did you know?
The funny thing is, I was reading this book, The Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren, and then it was just talking about how God, like, transforms a lot of people's lives in 40 days, you know, and that happened to be one of the things that he was speaking about. So that was funny. I had just read that today, too.
Wow, great timing.
It taught me something. It taught me something, too. So it's funny how you just spoke about it on the radio show, so I just had to call in, man. I always listen, so.
So the trivia question actually had a meaning for you.
It did. And now that just pushes me to, like, be more into also my Bible, because if I was, like, I should have known that, you know what I'm saying? So. But, you know, that taught me something. I thank you for at least having that question, because there's a lot of people who didn't know that, you know, so you're still teaching a lot of people. So thank you.
The David Spoon Experience on 770 KAAM.
Oh, my goodness. Hold on to your hats, because during today's show, right now, coming up now, Bob Hartman from the classic and awesome Christian band Petra. What? About to join us in just a moment. We're going to bring him in with some really cool music. Okay, I say it's cool because I like this song a ton. And I can't wait to talk to him about the influence and impact on thousands and thousands and thousands of people that this band has had. Ladies and gentlemen, let me welcome to the show for the first time, Bob Hartman. Bob, are you there with us, sir?
I hear you.
Oh, it's awesome. And we hear you, my brother. That's awesome. Awesome. First of all, let me just say thank you for not just for doing the show, but thank you for 50 years of ministry, for blessing people, for being an encouragement, and for being almost, I would almost say pastor-like for some of us who got saved in the 70s and went, I don't know where to go. I need to identify somewhere because you guys were phenomenal. So welcome to the show, sir.
Well, thank you so much, David.
Yeah, you're more than welcome. All right, I want to make sure you have the floor and whatever you want to communicate is key. I do have a couple questions, but they're not normal questions because I'm not that normal, so that will help. But in the meantime of it all, we want to make sure people know that you got a concert coming up on the 30th of March in Arlington, at Arlington Music Hall. And so that's Saturday, March 30th. I just want you to open the door but tell people how it is that they can get tickets or more information. What's the best avenue for them to reach out, purchase tickets, and participate at the concert?
Okay, it's going to take me a second to find that out.
Okay.
But I can get that for you.
Not a problem. I'm wondering if a lot of it has to do with PetraReunion.com, because I don't...
I don't believe that's where those tickets are coming from.
Okay.
That hall is not a part of that, but... Okay. Hang on.
No problem. This is just brothers talking and honoring the Lord. So you have the last thing this show ever has to be or ever is perfect.
Yeah. Well, that's good.
Yeah.
I've got a number and a website.
Awesome. Okay, fire away, and I'll write them down so we'll repeat them throughout. Go ahead.
Okay, the number I have is 817-296-2895.
Okay, perfect. Okay, 817-296-2895, correct?
Yes.
Okay, perfect.
And the website is www.arlingtonmusichall.net.
So www.arlingtonmusichall.net, correct?
correct?
Correct.
And then so people can get tickets for the concert, or they can make that call, and we'll repeat that throughout. So it's not a problem, and I just want to make sure people have the opportunity to see you guys if they haven't, or people that have seen you to get to see you again. So I got a couple of questions, but I want you to absolutely have the freedom to share whatever on your heart as well. I think one of my most, my deepest question is, you have a really cool testimony. I mean, you do. And it's just like, without getting too deep into it, can you share some of that testimony, how you became a Christian? Just the highlights?
Well, now, I do have a great testimony, but I think you might be talking about John Schlett. Now, my testimony is not nearly as spectacular as John's, but I will tell you that I got saved. I was all alone in a living room after I had asked somebody to come and witness to me, and I asked the Lord into my life, and my life changed at that point, and I've never been the same since. But now John was in the band Head East and was, you know, completely drug and alcohol, drunken, you know, druggy, and he got to the place where he didn't think life was worth living anymore. His wife invited him to a pastor's house, and that's when he got saved. So we like to tell John's testimony because, of course, it seems greater, but I would say it's no greater miracle that God saved me. It's just as great a miracle, that God saved me, because we're all sinners. We all need God's grace, and we're helpless and hopeless without him.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So when you got saved, okay, and the Lord mercifully and miraculously changes your life, how did you turn that into a vision or some kind of picture in your heart and mind that's like, well, we're going to do music, and we're going to do music for the Lord? How did that, what was that transformation process?
Okay, yeah, that's a good question. You know, when I first got saved, I was a musician. I'd had a band, you know, since I was 14 years old. And I thought, okay, God wants me to be a musician for him. So I started a band, and that band fell right on its face. And I thought, wow, maybe not so fast here. Maybe God doesn't want me to be a musician for him. Maybe I'm just supposed to play acoustic guitar in a Bible study. So I sold all my electric guitar equipment and just had an acoustic guitar. And then God called me to go to Bible school. And lo and behold, there were three other musicians there at the Bible school. And they said, let's get together and jam. And we did, and we felt there was something there, and we wanted to share with people who were like we were before we were Christians, people who didn't like traditional church music at all and would only be reached through some kind of music that was culturally relevant to where they were at. And that was rock music for a lot of people. So we started out playing parks, prisons, coffee houses, college campuses, any place we could, and that's how Petra began.
Well, I mean, now let me ask you, so when you started, because you were in it was a unique time frame, did you have, and I'm asking because I know people that have had this, did you have opposition from different ministries/churches because it was rock and roll? Because it seems to me that I remember in the 70s, there was some, you know, blowback against, well, you can't be Christian and like rock and roll, which is like, what, you know, kind of thing. Did you ever have that as a band, or did you guys just kind of sail past that?
Yeah, there was a lot of that. We had people picketing our concerts. We had churches that prayed against us when we came to their town. You know, most of the time when we went out in the 70s, it was with counterculture type ministries, you know, para church ministries. ministries that were made up of people who were saved in the Jesus movement and wanted to reach their peers. And that's really what the motivation was. And we felt always that we were on the side of the Church of Jesus Christ. But a lot of churches didn't want us on their team. So we had to struggle through a lot of that. But eventually, there's enough fruit that came from it where, and, you know, youth pastors were really the first to really grab hold of what Petra was doing and sharing it with their kids because they were desperate to have something to reach their kids with. And now those youth pastors are senior pastors in many cases. And so there's a lot of Petra fans in the pulpit now. But it wasn't that way at all during the early years.
Yeah, that, I mean, I just know there was that general opposition from various churches, and you know, there's. I mean, I've heard everything. I'm sure you've heard everything. I've heard so much. Oh, there's no beats.
Oh, yeah.
There's no beats, and it's like, dude, you're trying. They're trying to say there's no time in heaven. It's like, you know, it says it's silent in heaven for 30 minutes. I just want to make sure everybody knows that. So it's just so weird that they say stuff like that. But here's what I gotta get from you. So you guys have been doing this 50 years. Is that about right? 50 years you've been doing this for the Lord? I mean, that I'm not saying that's a lot of years, Bob, but that's a lot of years. So I'm just saying, is there, and I'm really serious about this, is there a season in that framework that was, this is the best season that we have done any of this ministry? Because sometimes it's like in the beginning, it's in the middle, sometimes it's towards the end. Was there a season in that 50 years that you just like loved it? There's just or loving it. Is there something in that time frame?
You know, the amazing thing is there were two or three of those seasons. You know, it just really has been up and down, up and down, up and down. And that's, you know, just I think well, I would put it like this. You know, God is always changing the way he wants us to minister culturally. God doesn't change himself, but we need to listen to God to know the times and to understand the times so that we can be effective in the world to reach people for him. And so probably those downtimes were times when we were trying to listen to God and trying to figure out how can we be more effective.
Did you have I know it's mean for me to ask this question, and I apologize in advance. Okay, so I'm saying that right now. But did you have a favorite album? Did you have a love this first album? I mean, like I've written a couple of books. First book, terrible. I mean, it was just I wrote it. It was terrible. I mean, I'm just being honest. It the content was great, just the writing was terrible. The other one I did, much better. And so I like it so much more only because it's better than, you know, it's more like proficient. Is there any album of the albums you guys did, which was, you know, a plethora of them, that you were like, that favorite, just absolutely my favorite?
You know, that is really a hard question. If I could, I would like to say two albums that stand out to me would be More Power to You and Beyond Belief. I think those two albums probably came the closest to, you know, being my favorites.
Wow. I mean, I'm just really blessed that you answered that because some people are like, I'm not touching that. I'm just glad you said that. You actually gave an answer. I just want people to know, okay, the couple of things. ArlingtonMusicHall.net. Now listen, folks. On the 30th of March, you have an opportunity to be blessed. If you've seen Petra in the past, you'll be blessed again. If you've not seen him in the past, you will be blessed royally for your first time in this experience. ArlingtonMusicHall.net is a place to pick up the tickets for March 30th. You can also call 817-296-2895. That's 817-296-2895. So I want to ask you just a few more questions, and I appreciate your time because I'm not trying to consume your time. You've already been super generous with us, and we appreciate that greatly. The main message from Petra to the audience is what?
okay, to put it into the shortest, lowest common denominator, it would be closer to God. You know, for a non-Christian, a non-believer, somebody who might be a skeptic even, sometimes they end up, many times they end up at our concerts. And they just wonder, what is this all about? And is God really real? And can I know him? And we know that the Holy Spirit draws whoever he wants to him, if we have ears to hear. And so we pray that those people come closer to Christ as a result of our concerts. Of course, our maximum goal is that they would come all the way to Christ and invite him into their life. And if Christians come, we also want them to draw closer to Christ as a result of the concert. You know, when they, many times they've shared with us, they hear songs that meant something very special to them in their early Christian life. And this is a real blessing for us to hear those kinds of testimonies, to know that our music has had an influence in that way in their life. And so we hope that they draw close to Christ again through the concert experience.
That's great. We do something called DNA on our show every single day. It's kind of like what the Christians are made of, and the D stands for draw closer to the Lord. That is the first thing. So because it's like the most important, our kind of our approach is, doesn't matter what it is, the answer is more of God. Doesn't matter what's going, the answer is more of him. That will be your answer. So
you can't go wrong there.
No, you can't go wrong there. You're phenomenal. And I really appreciate you taking the time to share with us. And I just want to say how much we appreciate it. We want people to check out the concert. Go to arlingtonmusichall.net to pick up some tickets. That's arlingtonmusichall.net, www.arlingtonmusichall.net. And check it out. Get the tickets. If you've never been to a Petra concert, you're just waiting on a blessing. You're just waiting on it. And if you have been, or if you grew up with Petra and you already know the influence, and I will say to you, Bob, that when you said that about helping people and drawing in closer, that was something that happened to myself. I mean, it was me, my brother, and two other boys, four boys, Jewish boys from Detroit, who all moved to Arizona, and within 30 days we all got saved, and we were known as the Four Musketeers. And the music that we listened to was the beginning part of our pastorates for all of us to learn about the Lord. And so that's why you guys have been such a blessing for somebody like myself. You don't even know that. It doesn't matter how many people I've reached, you guys reached us. And that made a
that's
big
amazing.
Difference in all of our lives. So thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you, David, for having us on the show and talking about the concert. And we appreciate it.
We appreciate you very much. God bless you, and thank you for your time.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We'll take a 22-and-a-half-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.